Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey guys, welcome to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Kavanagh. With me, as always, is Mr. Randy Van Dyke and David Edmondson. How are you two doing today?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
I'm doing fantastic, Justin. I want to get this podcast started off right and tell a joke.
Okay.
Randy Van Dyke, what did Cinderella say when she got to the ball?
I don't know what.
Oh my god.
That's awful.
Justin, follow that. How you doing?
I'm good.
Let's revisit that. Why is there only one ball?
You know, some of us had accidents. Some of us played sports.
That's true.
It happens. How many do you have?
I got a full collection of three.
Oh, some freak.
I can't juggle that many.
Segue from that, Justin.
Sure. I can do that. Sadly, Richard Hurd passed away in 87. Oh, not laughing at him passing away, just laughing that that was where we were going to start the show, but Mr. Edmondson derailed that one. I apologize. Mr. Richard Hurd had been making motion picture shows and being on the TV set for years and years and years, multiple decades, passed away at 87 due to complications with cancer. Sad, sad, sad. I know him mainly from Seinfeld. He was Mr. Wilhelm. He was one of George's supervisors when he worked for the Yankees. A lot of fun. And it's just really, really sad that another actor has left us.
Yeah,
he was on a ton of Star Trek. Oops, sorry. See, that's why we point to each other. Sorry,
I didn't necessarily recognize his name, but once I pulled up his IMDb and I was looking at him, you know, he's one of those character actors. You've seen his face a million times, but you don't always necessarily, you know the name to put to it. And like David started to say, he was in a bunch of different Star Trek series, so that's probably where I recognize seeing him the most.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, he's just been in everything. You go to his IMDb and he's in like every show like you've ever seen ever. And, yeah, it's just terrible, terrible that it happened to him. He was an episode of ER. Yeah, it's my favorite show. Sequest, tons of Star Trek. But, yeah, it's a terrible, terrible loss. Yeah, you know, when we lose these character actors who maybe didn't get their just due during their life, you know, other than, hey, you're that guy from that show. You're the guy from Cranes, Trains, and Automobiles. But, you know, at least he was able, you know, looks like he worked all the way up through, you know, 2019. So, you know, he was incredibly busy, a very prolific actor, and, his ilk will be missed.
Absolutely. Sad, sad, sad. Breaks my heart. But you know what else breaks my heart? It's poor David with the Snyder Cut. Isn't that the way the world works? We finally, you know, we get back onto a regular routine of recording this podcast, and the night before the news drops of a Snyder Cut, we're like, hey, what about that Snyder Cut? What's going on? And we look like real assholes less than 24 hours later when the whole world's talking about it. And then people have to listen to us ramble about the possibilities. But now it is going to be a thing on HBO Max about a year out from this happening, maybe. But I'm excited. I love the idea of seeing a new version of this movie. And I can't wait to wrap my eyes around it. David, what say you?
I'm super happy for people who wanted this movie. Like I said last podcast, I'm not against it. You know, Snyder, for better or for worse, had a unifying vision for where he wanted to take the DC universe, and it was taken from him / you know, handed over. My concern is that it sets this precedent that you know, I'm not going to call Release the Snyder Cut fans obnoxious fans, but they're very in your face, and they're very passionate and loving fans. Let's put it that way. But
I mean, I love you, and I'm passionate.
I like this. So release.
And I'm not in your face too much, except for a webcam.
So my worry is, I hate online petitions and stuff like, oh, sign my change.org petition, and like this is like going to be like the one example of the time it worked, and everyone's going to point to this like, oh, well, we got the Snyder Cut done, and I just hate. I would hate for I just don't want every film to have, like, oh, release the Abrams cut of blah, blah, blah.
Sure,
blah, blah.
But I mean, don't you think director's cuts have been going on for, like, decades now? I mean, there's, like, Dune and Aliens and Alien 3.
Blade Runner.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a million versions, and it's always obnoxious on some degree.
The big difference with that is many of those took, like, decades for the director's cut to be released. Like, the theatrical version or studio version was the only version available for a long time before you ever saw any additional cuts.
I mean, and Justice League's part of an established, you know, universe type thing. You know, yes, there have been director's cuts in the past, but can you name me a director's cut from a movie that's less than 30 years old? I mean, it's all these old movies that a lot of them, like take Lucas, you know. He came and he redid his movie because technology changed. You know, he did it because he could tell his story better, because he didn't think he had more story to tell. He just thought that he could convey it in a more appeasing visual medium, to where this is just, you know, this is just, I mean, it's going to be like 4 hours. I mean, that's, and if you take most director's cuts, they're from, you know, either universally beloved movies or movies that have, you know, a very strong and loving opinion of them. You know,
Superman 2? That's one of your favorite movies, and there's the Donner cut. That's two very different things.
It is, but I mean,
same character.
We're talking same Superman. I don't remember there ever being like this huge underground moment, like, you know, I got to see what Dick Donner was going to do with Superman 2, and that was a very interesting set of circumstances. And so maybe this is a story. I'm happy if you let one of the Donner cut, I'm excited you got the Donner cut. I'll watch it once on HBO Max and I'll be like, oh yeah, it's just as terrible as the original version. It's just more flashy. I don't know.
But maybe people were complaining in their homes, like, you know what make this movie better is if it was this, this, and this. And now with the power of the Twitters, we can do that. And we have those nice people going to Target parking lots to have us sign petitions to get a Snyder cut.
Yeah, but I mean, as a film lover, would you rather Warner Brothers spend $20 million? Would you like to see Warner Brothers spend $20 million to fix a movie that is not universally loved, or would you like to see them take $20 million to make an entirely different new movie? It's the whole thing with, like, Make Solo 2 happen, which was trending yesterday, and I know our buddy Lacey is just all about making Solo 2 happen. I would much rather them make an original story within the galaxy far, far away than continue the Solo movie. Because you know what? We got lots of movies with Han Solo in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to be devil's advocate on Solo too, yes, I really want to see where they were going to take the Crimson Dawn or whatever it was called and Maul. I really wanted to see where they were going to take that in live action. But I would be just as content if they were to pursue that in an animated form. It doesn't have to be in a movie. It could be an animated series, one or two seasons. Show us what they had in mind.
What about Disney Plus Mandalorian thing?
What about it?
Like, I mean, like have it's a perfection. On Han Solo 2.
Yeah. See, I don't want that storyline crowding The Mandalorian, because there's already a lot going on in it, but I would like to see it done in a similar way, or even like a Rebel.
That's what I mean. Just have its own show.
That's a perfect thing.
The Mandalorian as an example, like where it just has its own show on Disney Plus. I apologize.
So I realize that there's probably not enough money in it to make it worth their while to make another Solo movie. I totally get that. But if they can put together some animated content and finish the story that they were setting up, that they were going to tell over at least two movies, because that's, I think, what they were contracted for, most of that cast, at least tell us where that was going to go so that it wasn't a setup for nothing.
Sure.
Right. I think the Crimson Dawn and Darth Maul specifically were very, very last-minute changes to the script, and I don't see a satisfactory arc from that, especially in regards to Solo. I mean, but Solo could easily be a Disney Plus thing. I mean, Woody Harrelson's killed. You know, Emilia Clarke's not doing anything post-Game of Thrones right now. The only real big spend that would be for the cast would be Donald Glover, and you could easily make Lando a bit player, if any player at all. You know, he's won the Falcon from Lando. You know, the only thing he has to do now with Lando is have his falling out. I think that Solo could easily be a Disney Plus show, because, you know, the entire cast can't be making, you know, I bet for season two, most of the Mandalorian cast will make more than they'd have to pay, you know, Alden Ehrenreich and, you know, Jonas and all those other people to come back, just because, like I said, Woody's dead. and Ray Park will come back.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is they've got that. Well, I don't know if it's in pieces somewhere in warehouses, but they've got a life-size Falcon interior built. They've got the cockpit. They've got the volume, the whole stagecraft technology that they use for the Mandalorian. You know, put the Falcon cockpit in there. Shoot so much of what could be this ongoing Solo series in an environment like that, and it'll feel just as big and as expansive as the movies at a fraction of the cost. I mean, it seems like it should be a no-brainer for Disney Plus. But I don't know. Maybe we're the vocal minority.
Sure. I mean, let me ask you a question, Justin, real quick. Yeah. Sorry. So, taking it back to the Snyder, what possibly long term could Warner Brothers get out of this? Yeah, there's going to be some buzz for Disney for HBO Max, but I mean, is there any way the studio can look? I mean, let's say the Snyder Cut is incredible, then they're assholes for everything they did. Or it's terrible, and they've wasted our time and stuff like that, and they've made a mess. They've made a mockery of the Justice League franchise. I mean, what is Warner Brothers hoping to get out of this? Other, you know, I mean, it's not like it's a launch title for HBO Max,
right? And it's actually gonna. You see, throughout 20 million, there was an article that I read today where the HBO Max head honcho was saying that he wishes that it cost only 20 or 30 million. It was gonna be a lot more than that.
Oh, well, it's even worse.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they expect to gain other than giving the fans what they want. You know, you were talking about this setting a precedent. And, you know, recently I can think of the Sonic movie where everyone was freaking out over how Sonic the Hedgehog looked to the point where they went back to the drawing board to redo it. That's a big deal. Mass Effect 3, the ending people didn't like. The fans were like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing. My life is over. I've cut out both of my eyes now, so I never have to look at your stupid ending ever again. Mm-hmm. And then they remade that, too. So this is definitely something that has happened, and it is weird, to say the least. But I don't think this is the last time we're going to see something like this.
Might not be the last time we talk about it in this show.
Right.
Well, we're going to have to talk about it once it hits HBO Max.
Right.
So the one good thing I have to say about it is anybody who had the previous HBO app, HBO Go, I think it was called, or HBO Now, whatever the hell, you automatically get moved over to Max. So that means I'm going to have it. Yeah, so I might as well watch it.
There was a crazy breakdown that I read this morning about who gets the free upgrade and who doesn't, and it's a very complicated weave. It's not as simple as just everyone getting it. And so definitely do your research on that. I hope you get it, Randy.
I got an email saying I got it. So
perfect. So yes, if you got an email, then you're good to go. Yeah.
It will be interesting to see if Affleck comes back, because there's rumors that they're trying to get him to come back to shoot some stuff for Justice League. So,
I think he would, considering he put Batman
behind him.
Considering he was one of the guys that was like hashtag release the Snyder Cut, I feel like he would be obligated to do so. Of course, his body has probably changed a little bit since.
Might have to have some foam padding stuck in there, you know.
He was a gorilla in those movies.
I don't know, man. The one thing that stuck out for me about his portrayal as Batman is I just really dug the gritty brutality of it, you know, just like slamming fools through the floor and through walls and stuff like that. It was pretty badass portrayal of Batman. Yeah, so I'll definitely be curious to check it out, especially because I don't feel one way or the other about the original version. So to me, it might as well all be brand new. And to answer your question in a roundabout sort of way, David, what does Warner Brothers hope to achieve with this? I'm thinking they're just, in some way, shape, or form, they're just going to take a second bite of the same apple, you know? They're going to get a second chance at getting a big revenue stream off of a movie that came out, you know, 5-6 years before. So,
and we're all talking about HBO Max the week of its launch, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
It's put them in the consciousness.
Exactly. And this isn't going to hit until when? Later this year or next year? Yeah. So let's say they have a slip in subscriptions by then. Well, that's going to be the shot in the arm that they need to get it back up. Because what flagship shows or content do they have going on right now? Westworld is one of them, but that's kind of shit in the bed as far as I'm concerned. So I don't really feel like that's got much of a lifetime left to it. So
did you watch? Have you seen season 3?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. Or I've watched it. Yeah,
I'm halfway through. I'm told that it's awesome and it redeems the show. So we'll have to wait and see. I am excited for Justice League in that, you know, I love Darkseid. He's one of my favorites, and so to see him, it'll be cool. I hope that he kills a lot of people.
There you go.
Badly. And then a person he kills, he's like,
that planet.
Yeah, he's going to kill him. He's like, this person would have lived if we didn't have the Snyder Cut. So all you release a Snyder Cut, people, genocide on you. # release a Snyder Cut.
It's a fun way to look at it. My goodness. I like the idea of seeing these characters again. So I'm all for it. We'll see how it goes. The jury's still out. But I bet you love it, Dave. And then I bet you have a cardboard cutout of the entire Justice League in your garage behind you a year from now.
I will happily. I hope that I am wrong. I don't go into anything not wanting to like it. I don't want to waste hours of my life
on crap.
I love almost everything.
Except Zack Snyder. What about Suicide Squad? You love that movie. That was great. I do.
Academy Award winning Suicide Squad? Are you kidding me? That tour de force that launched Margot Robbie into the stratosphere, starring the iconic Will Smith. What could have gone wrong? David Ayer? What? I don't know what you're talking about. You said it was some snide little subterfuge there, like you didn't love Suicide Squad.
I don't like it at all.
Oh, now who's the hater?
No, I sat through it. I actually own it. I supported it. But I don't enjoy it. But I am glad that I was a part of it in some way as the audience, but I did not enjoy it. And now David Ayer is saying that a director's cut of his movie would actually be pretty easy to complete. Mainly probably because he shot all of it, and it would just be a matter of crop here, cut there, and he could do it a lot less than $20 or $30 million.
Yeah, he heard that Warner Brothers was just giving out money. For people to remake their movies. He was like, I went in on that gravy train.
Yeah. He's like, oh, shit, yeah, man. I got this whole movie.
So what do we know what's going to be different in his cut?
Well, let's just pretend for a second, hypothetically, that it gets made. It was definitely a much darker movie. There was a lot more Joker. He said that the Joker scenes, that Jared Leto, his stuff barely got made, and his heart aches for him. He put in a lot of work and a lot of effort into that role, and his heart breaks for the actor because so much of the work never got a theatrical release. So I imagine it would just be much longer and darker.
I'm all for anything that gives me more Joker. So even that Joker, just because we saw such a, well, from what it sounds like, we saw just a fraction of what he actually did. Maybe he had something cool going on, and all we got to see was just the weird leftovers, you know? Sure. So I think it's worth it.
I do think that's what I love about you, Randy. You got a personality.
Right. He says that it got the Edward Scissorhands treatment. That's what he said.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. I mean, cut all over the place. It's like a giant like hedge dinosaur.
That's better than the Edward Penis Hands treatment.
Right. I was of the opinion that Tim Burton was pretty much on top of his game at that point, so he could do whatever he wanted with that movie. So I'm assuming that the reference was just that lots of scissors, lots of cutting. This is the Edward Scissorhands motion, by the way.
Which works great on an audio podcast.
Right?
Just know that he's flailing his hands like a Muppet.
Yeah, did a really good job, too.
We talked about HBO Max, Randy. We didn't talk about, are you excited that that's going to be the exclusive home for Doctor Who going forward? Or are you still on the Doctor Who train, or did this season kill your love for Doctor Who like everybody else's?
I'm still on the train just because it's been kind of meh for the last few years. I've had a hard time like really getting into it, but I still watch it faithfully. I enjoy it. I just don't necessarily yearn for it and look forward to it in its off season, that kind of thing. But it's like when it's on, I'm like, oh, cool, it's back for like the 6 or 8 episodes we get per season or whatever ridiculously low number it is.
Was it because the last two Doctors weren't as good, or just the show in general isn't as good?
The production value of the show has actually gone up, and I think the show is better. And I actually I like everybody that they've cast since Matt Smith, but I just have had a hard time like really just connecting with it, I guess.
That's fair.
So,
I never felt more out of place than when we went to that Nerdist podcast on
with Brad and
yeah. I mean, ultimately, I watched the show after that. I was like, all right, well, now I got to check it out because there's a bunch of yahoos in this crowd. But that was one of the few times that me as a person and a total super mega geek just felt 100% out of place because I had no idea what anybody was talking about. It was pure Pokemon talk, and everyone was so excited. I remember me and Dave just kept looking at each other like, what are they talking about? What is this show?
Yeah.
The one with the guy with the scarf? Is that what they're talking about?
Didn't we jump into a Hall H presentation that we ended up catching some Doctor Who?
I don't know. Maybe at some point. But that podcast, was that some
theater? No, I remember that was off campus, as they say, away from the convention center. But 1 year, there was nothing going on, or there was zero line for Hall H on a Thursday or a Friday afternoon, and we just went right inside, and we caught the tail end of a Doctor Who panel.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I want to say I was with one of you guys, I thought.
Yeah, I was with you. I remember that.
Okay.
I remember being just as lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you never really watched it. You watched a couple episodes of Raymond Calitri, and that was it.
Yeah, and I think it was when they were announcing Capaldi.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds right. Well, the problem with the Ninth Doctor, who is the one whose episodes you saw a few of, that was back when they were just kind of rebooting Doctor Who, or not rebooting, but just reintroducing him to the world. And the production value was insanely low. The effects were cheesy. It looked like it was shot using a potato phone camera, and it was god-awful.
Right. But, I mean, sometimes there's... Right, I was going to say, sometimes there's a charm that comes with that low production value.
Right, yeah. In terms of the cast and the writing, it was still very, very fun. It just looked terrible. And it was one of those things that, you know, when I first started watching it, I watched it to ridicule it, you know.
Right.
You know, like Mystery Science Theater, like, look at this, you know, ridiculous puppet kind of thing. But over time, it got way better. And over the last couple of years, it's just like, I mean, it's cinematic quality. It's beautiful. It's great. And I do really like the cast. I just I'm not doing anything.
I got a notification on Pokemon.
Just keep talking.
Okay.
Hey, God, I'm going to mute myself while my kid talks to you for a second. Keep chatting.
We'll do it live. Yeah, that is true, though. It was definitely pretty cheeseball in those first seasons where the show came back anyway.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that charm. I started watching a lot of like tokusatsu shows now that I'm having the job that I have, and it's cheese factor is cranked up to 11, but I still enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like if you know that going into it, you know, you expect it, then
right.
Then it's cool. You know? Then that's part of the charm. But if because the way I was introduced to it is like, you've got to see this show. It's amazing. Holy crap. Like, it was talked up big time. And then I sit down there and I watch it. I'm like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. Because this is a hot off the heels of Battlestar Galactica and, you know, the sci-fi series. And that was amazing production value and just an insanely intense show. And then, you know, the same person who got me to watch that was like, dude, you got to watch this next. And I was expecting something equally as epic, and it is on a different level. But visually, I was like, "Who let the film students make something for you?" You know?
Yeah, that first episode's tough too with the mannequins that come to life.
Yeah,
that's brutal. Hard to watch.
Huh. There's also a lot of cool content coming on HBO Go, HBO Max. You know, they have the Green Lantern show. You know, the series based on Justin's favorite movie, Last of the Mohicans. You know, there's going to be a Grease television show, Rydell High. So there's going to be the Doom prequel. There's going to be the animated Gremlins prequel. It should be some cool stuff.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm
and
on
then
board.
They'll have Justice League.
Are they breaking it into four episodes or six episodes?
Hmm?
The Justice League, are they breaking it into four or six?
I don't know if it's going to be a long-ass movie or a series.
Okay. I've been hearing that it's going to be broken down, but I don't know.
TBD.
It's all going to be great. I like Last Movie, by the way. You are right. I don't know if it's my favorite movie, but they run a lot.
That's all I hear. It's like, oh, It's like in Last of the Mohicans. Remember that time in Last of the Mohicans? So it was eating the other day, and Last of the Mohicans was on. You like Last of the Mohicans?
I hear it's got a pretty good soundtrack.
It does. It was one of my first CDs. And I just read a stupid BuzzFeed article about actors that have retired, and Daniel Day-Lewis was one of them.
Yeah, he came out of retirement for Phantom Thread, and then said he's officially done. He wants to be a cobbler. He wants to do shoes.
They have those in the mall.
He's like, I've done it all. You know, I don't need to win any more awards.
Sure.
That's a hell of a transformation.
Yeah. Do what you like.
Yeah. You do you, boo.
Honestly.
At a certain point, if you're not getting anything out of the art anymore and you don't need the paycheck, you don't need the money, yeah, you got to do something that's going to fulfill you.
Yeah. It's honest living. I'm all for it. I personally prefer he had like a little cart and he would go up and down the street versus having a store in the mall. But
ringing a bell.
Door to door.
Sitting on the street corner just hammering away at his leather-soled shoes.
Yeah, as someone that knows next to nothing about fixing shoes or shoe repair, I just picture a lot of tools, a lot of chiseling, and it's great. I never took any classes on.
But yeah, got to work up those leather crafting skills.
Yeah, it sounds tough. Can't do it. And how long does it take?
Not with that attitude.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, do I got to wait here while you do this, or should I come back? I don't know.
You can't rush it. You can't rush it.
Can't rush perfection.
His answer would be something like, would you rush a baby zebra birthing another baby zebra?
I don't know.
He's a weird guy.
Speaking of weird guys, our buddies, Tom Cruise and Mr. Doug Liman, they want to shoot their next movie in space. And I think NASA's going to help them accomplish this goal. Literally going to shoot scenes at a space station. That is intense, especially since people train their entire lives to go up into space. And now we're going to send up Tom Cruise, some director, and a crew. That sounds dangerous.
Well, okay, first of all, he's a Scientologist, so he can do anything.
Right.
Second of all, I don't think they're going to be sending that much of a crew up there. There's probably just like a camera operator and him, you know, and anything else is probably remoted in from live via satellite kind of thing, right, to direct him or whatever. Because that International Space Station is not very big on the inside.
I'm not picturing like a whole catered crew. I'm just imagining a handful of individuals that are needed, deemed worthy of going up into space. But, I mean, while I'm quite jealous at the prospect of going into outer space, I would rather go when it's much more convenient and you could book a ride to another planet versus, well, let's hope this thing makes it a couple miles up north into
the space station. But you realize if you're waiting that long, it's gonna we're going to expire before it gets to that point.
I'm just saying, as a matter of convenience, I would prefer my spaceship to work.
Yeah,
someplace interesting as opposed to some space truck stop just a couple miles above our planet.
I don't want to ride somebody else's guinea pig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, if there was one star that could go to space and make a movie, it's Tom Cruise.
Right. It makes sure. Perfect. But I mean,
if it had been anybody else, I would have been like, no, this isn't going to happen. Even like The Rock or someone like big like that had said, I'd be like, no, but Tom Cruise would be like, yeah, you could probably make it happen.
It sounds like something out of like Back to the Future 2, to be honest with you. Like, it sounds so fake and absurd, and it makes perfect sense that it's Tom Cruise. You're absolutely right.
Look at everything, every aspect of our lives for like the last 3-4 years. It is so ridiculous and absurd that, You wouldn't even think somebody could satirize to where we are now, but here we are. You know,
right.
That is our life.
That's crazy. I hope it works out.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be the first time that they've had cinema cameras up on the International Space Station, because one of the models of camera that Red Digital Cinema produced, they made for NASA. They developed a special sensor that works really well in low light, and made a couple cameras for NASA, and at least one of them was sent up to the International Space Station before. So they have this amazing like 5K footage, or maybe even higher resolution. I'm not sure, but it's really high resolution footage. of Earth, of space, of life in the International Space Station. And there's some really cool videos online. I've even shared one to, I think, my Facebook feed at one point in time, showing like changing lenses on a camera in space with no gravity and that kind of thing. And it's amazing. So that being said, I don't think that particular astronaut that did all that stuff is still up there anymore. But if they needed to send somebody that knew their way around a camera and has already been up at the International Space Station, I forgive me for not knowing this, but that astronaut would be the dude to send up with Tom Cruise to shoot his stuff. So who knows? I mean... Right.
Who knows? But I mean, I feel like we're in like Armageddon territory where we have this asteroid coming, and who better to send than some offshore drillers to go fix the problem? And you know, people train so hard to go up into space. I remember watching this video. It was at some theme park, we'll say Universal, whatever. And Leonard Nimoy was doing some narration and talking about going up into space and how crazy it is and how the crew is like usually sick for the first couple days, just puking up all over the place. So I can imagine it'll be, it's not like they're just going to go up, shoot the scene really fast, like guerrilla filmmaking, steal some shots in space and then head on home. It's going to be a process. It's got to be nuts.
It's definitely going to be a process. It's going to be well documented because, you know, whatever documentary or behind the scenes madness they put together for this particular thing is going to get a lot of press just because it is really unprecedented. Sure. And I'm trying to think, other than, because Apollo 13 is the movie that comes to my mind. You know those planes that go really high up in the atmosphere and then they just like free fall, they dive. So you get
vomit comets.
The vomit comets, yeah, you get like 1 minute of weightlessness, and they actually shot some of Apollo 13 in, they built a set inside one of those planes to get that weightlessness. That I think that was like the first time that they had done that. Forgive me if there were other movies that came before, but that was the first one that was really like widely publicized. This just feels like the next natural chain in progression, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it was funny you mentioned the vomit comet. I was going to bring it up because Tom Cruise, when they filmed The Mummy, they did a ton of stuff in the vomit comet, you know, filming all of the plane crash scenes from that movie. And they did something like 36 actual, like, I don't know if they call them dives or drops, whatever you call them. And the crew members would have to have paper bags, you know, kind of like how we have masks now. They'd have the elastic around their ears holding the paper bags because every time they went down, someone would vomit. And it was just, you know... Because think about it. Try filming something on your phone while you're moving, and it's so disorientating.
It's like Game Boy in the car, bro. There's no way. Yes.
So now imagine having to like pull focus and, you know, check your levels if you're a sound guy and stuff like that. You're looking at your screen while you're doing this just dramatic nosedives into the Earth, which is already scary on its core. You know, you're basically like Velcroed to the wall because, you know, they can't have you floating around because you'll bump into Tom Cruise and stuff like that. So I know it was a very nightmarish filming process. So maybe that's why Cruise just wants to kick it up a notch.
Yeah. Let's just do it underwater and then remove the water in post.
Get rid of all the bubbles and everything. It'll be fine.
Or just have gravity. Wherever you are, there's gravity.
Yeah.
You're in space. They've already
hit the gravity switch.
You know, just do it the way they've been doing it for movies for 100 years. And if you need to have somebody floating around, put them on wires.
There you go.
Yeah. There's nobody complaining about Star Wars that, like, well, I'd like this movie, but people aren't floating around like they're supposed to. These assholes just sitting in seats and stuff like that.
I know.
People floating around in space has got to be the least impressive thing about a space movie.
And it's going to be a long shot because they worked so hard to get there, right? So you got to show them floating because otherwise it's a waste of time.
Oh. So and they float slow. It's not like there's any kind of frenetic action. It's like the scene in Jaws 3D where like the shark's going towards the very glass. End, it's crashing into the glass.
Yeah.
But you know, it's cool in 3D because it's coming towards you. But you watch it in not 3D, it's just this fucking shark that's not moving, just like inching across the screen. You're like, it's so like, just leave?
Like in Austin Powers when he's like, no, stop.
And yeah, the steamroller.
But the real sell on that is when the glass breaks on a non-3D viewing of it. And it looks like one giant piece shattering. It's awesome. Love it. Jaws 3. Go watch it.
You should. Jaws 3D. Yes. I saw that in the theater.
Good for you. I didn't. I'm sad.
Although I remember it was my parents were going on a date, and as a kid, I didn't understand what date meant, and so I decided I wanted to go see it too. And so when my mom took us all over to my aunt's house to get babysat, I'm like, I want to see the movie too. And like they're like, I'm assuming they exchanged glances, like, I don't want to bring the fucking kid to our date. But they did, and I saw Jaws 3D. And I'm better for it. Yeah.
You are. My sister saw it with my father in 3D, and I have been jealous ever since.
Nice.
I can never be better than her because of
that. Never. Nothing you do can amount to her watching Jaws 3D.
Yep.
In the theater.
I'm chasing the dragon or shark.
Only way you could equal her is if you went and bought a print of Jaws 3D, went into a movie theater, and got 80s level 3D glasses and watched Jaws 3D.
Yeah, but then she could still say, well, I saw it on the original run. So you just fuck.
But she was a dumb kid when she watched it. She won't appreciate it like you will as an adult.
That might be true.
I've got a question for you about 1980s 3D. What kind of glasses would they have been? Would they have been the red and blue, or would they have been like the darker ones?
I believe they were the red and blue, but I could be 1,000% wrong. I don't remember having nice glasses. I remember them just being...
Well, I know they're not like today's 3D glasses, but I also remember there was this time, and I want to say it was the late 80s or the early 90s, where they were televising the Rose Parade, for example, in 3D.
I remember that. And
you had to go to 7-Eleven to get the glasses.
Yeah.
You could get them in certain newspapers. You like had to punch them out or something like that, and it came in a bag with the paper. But it was like one dark side, one clear side or something like that, and it was basic. I don't know what the principle of it was.
It only worked for the ads. Like in between like the floats, they would do like an ad for like 7-Eleven or Bank of America, and that's when the 3D worked. It didn't work for any of the floats.
That's so funny.
I remember being pissed because my grandma took us to 7-Eleven to get the 3D glasses, and I never watched a single Rose Parade. I'm like, oh, it's going to be in 3D. We got to watch this shit. And then it was not good.
So I'm just wondering, because I never saw any movies in 3D in the 80s growing up. I mean, except for, Captain EO at Disneyland, but that doesn't count because that was special technology. But
it doesn't count. I've been living my whole life thinking it counts.
Well, no, it counts. It counts for 3D technology in general. But okay. I mean, in terms of theatrically released feature-length films,
right,
like Jaws 3D. I never saw any of those, so I don't know what 80s 3D was. I don't know how good or how bad it was.
Can any of you think of any other IPs that were released in 3D in the 80s that would have been the thing to see?
It was all the dumb horror movies, and I wasn't a horror movie kind of gay.
Like Friday the 13th had a 3D,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Friday the 13th had a 3D, like Piranha.
Piranha.
Yeah, there were quite a few of it.
The Piranha 3D, wasn't that like
that was new
mid 2000s or something like that? Jerry O'Connell in it.
Yeah.
3D Jerry O'Connell, that sounds pretty sweet.
I actually really enjoyed that movie.
Bing Rhames.
I just watched it recently.
And Richard Dreyfuss singing like the Jaws song, like at the beginning, he's like in a little boat.
Yeah.
Like, they got the way to go home, that song or whatever. Speaking of which, I watched Jaws on Friday. It was a long marathon that I had. Not of Jaws, but just movies in general. Started with School of Rock, then I went to Jaws, then I went to Die Hard with a Vengeance, then I went to Signs, then I went to something else, and I don't remember what it was. But it was like this 5-movie marathon. And hot damn, Jaws is such a great movie. Probably my favorite ever.
It's pretty good. You won't get a lot of arguments from people if you say Jaws is the
super. Quint's like, here's the swimming with bow-legged women. Jesus.
Yeah. He's a salty almost like old two goat. Movies. It's almost like two movies. There's the pre them going to get on the Orca, and then once they're on the Orca, it just feels like a totally different movie, which isn't a bad thing.
I agree. I like the whole town aspect and them going all crazy and the mayor wanting to not close the beaches and it being a political
thing. It's very topical.
Yeah, it really is. That's crazy. Now, are you left with the opinion that Richard Dreyfuss' character is the one that vandalized the billboard?
No.
Is that
a popular theory?
No, I don't know. I was just curious.
No, I never got that impression.
Okay.
You mean that puts the fin on the
water? Yeah, in the water? Shark? Yeah.
No. Are you of the opinion?
I mean, it would make sense because he was trying to use it as a visual aid to the mayor.
Yeah.
Like that thing is to scale. I don't know.
I just feel like we would have seen it.
Sure. Maybe we need a cut. a Snyder cut of Jaws.
Yeah, we need the Spielberg cut because you know they were always so anxious to cut his shit.
He's busy.
Is he?
I don't know.
Well, then speaking of ridiculously long movies from that time period.
Which one's the ridiculously long movie from that time period? Do you think Jaws is over the longest?
I don't know.
I was going to segue into Close Encounters.
Yeah,
was there a direct release of that or like an extended version released of that?
I don't know. They need a Cavender cut and it'd be about 40 minutes long.
Right. That movie.
And you know what? Richard Dreyfuss is a real piece of shit in that movie. He just basically like leaves his wife and kids to go with the aliens. Like, doesn't say anything to them. Builds these fucking potatoes. Says this is important. Gets in the car with some strange person. Drives to the middle of nowhere and just leaves. Yeah. Not leaves the planet.
Dad said he was going to go out and get more potatoes, and he never came back.
Yeah. He is a bad motor scooter.
All people are good, Dave. That's a life lesson.
Yes, but he's the quote-unquote hero of the film.
I mean, heroes on both sides.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Well, his wife is obviously a strong woman. She's going to have to take care of everyone. She's the best.
For her.
She's the real hero. The aliens are doing her a favor, getting rid of that deadbeat dad. I mean, he could be probed.
I think that's why he went.
Yeah.
That's the extended cut I'm looking for.
That's what we think alien abduction mean, right? Is probing.
Yeah, that's all it is.
You saw fire in the sky. It's not your bottom that gets violated. It's your eye, and it's awful.
That whole movie is just one big advertisement for don't go in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like I signed up for the butt stuff, not this eye torture.
It's like when do we get to the butt stuff?
I can't even put contact lenses in my face because I'm too scared to touch my eye. And just the idea of thinking of that movie and that abduction and how the camera just keeps focusing on the needle that starts off really, really thick and it just keeps getting thinner and thinner and thinner all the way to his eye, and it's awful. It could have just ended with credits at that moment, and it would have been the scariest movie ever made for me. Can't do eye torture.
Yeah, I can't do contacts either. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to need glasses pretty soon, and I'm going to opt for the glasses. And I don't mind. I'd rather do that than stick my fingers in my eyeballs every day.
Yeah, I can't do it. When I do eye drops, I'm like literally looking the other way. I'm like, oh my god. And then like the very idea of like LASIK eye surgery where you're awake when they're putting a laser to your eye. It's like, are you nuts? Fuck that.
You can't move. Don't move. Don't blink.
I would be the worst patient ever. They would kick me out. They would say, we're keeping your money. Get the fuck out. Wasting our time here. Can't do it.
This is mine. I'm keeping it.
Yeah. Tom Cruise. Space.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Oh, jeez.
He's going to come back looking younger somehow.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
He'll find a way to spin the earth reverse. Dial back time a little bit.
Yeah. I believe it.
International Space Station of Rejuvenation.
Yeah.
Call on the powers of, oh, what starts with a Z? Xenu, is that it?
Xenu from...
I'm talking about Scientology. I'm talking about
the Scientology. It's Xenu.
Yeah. Sounds intense.
He's Vigo.
Yeah, he certainly is. Can't argue with that.
You're like the buzzing of flies to him.
I love that little guy, Janos. Yeah. And he's like shaking his head like, yeah. Oh, it's so great. Oh, did they ever make an action figure of that guy? We need one.
Not yet, I don't think so.
Oh, I need
but, you know, we got all that new Ghostbusters stuff coming out sometime later this year, theoretically.
Heck yeah, man. He's the man. Speaking of the man, Doug Liman, who we were just talking about going to space with Mr. Tom Cruise, he brought us The Bourne Identity years and years and years ago, probably 20 years ago now. And Mr. Frank Marshall is saying that he's on the lookout for a new filmmaker and a new story for a potential sixth film in the Bourne series. So I think you guys are available if you want to make a Bourne movie. Throw your name in the hat.
And this might be a, come back.
I was just going to ask. It sounds like it might be a ridiculous question, but is Matt Damon coming back?
Oh.
He was a big fan of Mr. Greengrass. Like, he wouldn't come back for the fourth one unless Peter Greengrass was involved. And, you know, it was his involvement that made him come back. So I imagine that Matt Damon does not need to play Jason Bourne again.
Right. It could be like a Bond thing, right, where you get new actors throughout the years.
Might be able to get Renner, you know.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed that one.
When the, it just kind of ends.
Yeah, I was going to say, they hop on a motorcycle, and then it's like credits.
Yeah, and like, then you get the little, like, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm like, that's
yeah,
it?
That's the theme, right?
Yeah.
It's like some Moby song.
I don't know. And then all of a sudden it's over. I'm like, oh, what? Oh, it's credits. I guess I guess we go now.
Yeah. I enjoyed that movie. I thought it was fun. Rachel Weisz, maybe? Is she the one?
Yeah, she was looking for the stims. Anyway, stims.
Yeah. They're like on this very strict regiment of pill popping needles and such. Well, it got really quiet.
Yeah.
I muted myself to get my Bourne Legacy Steelbook Blu-ray.
Oh, nice. Shit.
With Jeremy Renner. I don't know why I have it.
And you just cleaned out all your possessions and got rid of everything you don't want, but you kept that.
I kept my Blu-rays.
Oh, okay. You threw out the reg rays.
But I'm looking through them, like, these are bad. I have some that I don't need.
Gotta keep the steelbooks, man. They complicate the shelf. I remember there was like an Iron Man Blu-ray, and it was like his face. It's like, what am I supposed to do? It's not gonna fit on my shelf.
Well, like your Spider-Man box set with your Electro face,
which I never bought, by the way. I wanted that so bad. I can't believe I didn't pull the trigger on that thing. It was like $100, though.
One of the few DVDs I kept in my case is my Iron Man DVD, and it's right up here.
Oh, nice!
I have Iron Man, and I have The Dark Knight in the Batman mask.
Oh, and I think there was an Optimus Prime Transformer one too.
I
got
that one up there too, and the part two was Bumblebee.
I heart you, Mr.
Talk Evans. Amongst yourselves.
did I tell you that I finally saw the Bumblebee movie recently?
Yeah, and you enjoyed it too, right?
Absolutely loved it. Holy crap, it was so good.
That's right in your wheelhouse.
It was such a better movie than it had any business of being. You know, like when you get a sequel or a spinoff that's that far down the line from the original movie, you don't expect it to be any good. But Bumblebee was just a breath of fresh air. Loved it.
Yeah, it was really good. The soundtrack is killer, too.
Oh, love it. Yeah. Well, of course, because of the time period and everything. Right. It's just like, how could you, well, me as an 80s fan, how could you not love it?
Yeah.
As an 80s fan and as a Generation 1 Transformers fan, how could you not love that?
Absolutely.
Iron Man.
I see that.
Well, David is showing off on his webcam all the fun box sets that he's got, which makes for great podcasts.
It transforms.
Oh, shoot. It does, huh? Did not expect it to actually transform. Whoa. Snap is supposed to make that snap sound.
He's a little lanky, you know? Those are some long limbs.
It's got to go work out. And you can either, the feet will go out, so he'll actually stand up. And you go, look, I am Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Join me.
He's got the coolest voice ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frank Welker.
Yeah, I would talk like that every day if I could make that voice.
Yeah.
You know, the day that guy goes, they're going to have to just stop making Transformers movies.
Yeah.
And then Bumblebee was the second one.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You didn't open it? Did you open it?
I didn't.
Oh, so it's in a case, inside a case?
It's a box.
Yeah. One of them Transformers nesting doll type deals.
And inside is Bumblebee, and he does the same thing. He also transforms.
Nice.
I like Transformers.
I see that. I like Transformers, too.
This one is Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen.
The OO.
Oh, like Teen Wolf 2.
Although, exactly. So less boxy.
Man. Speaking of TOO, I watched Zapped 2 the other day. You guys ever watch that? I'm assuming you've all seen the Scott Baio original.
Of course.
So I finally just watched TOO Zapped 2. And it is It is an unexpectedly amazing piece of 1989 cinema. Because it encapsulates the end of the 80s perfectly. And it is just so ridiculous in what you can't get away with a teen comedy now, but you could back then.
Sure.
It's so fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of raunchiness in those 80s comedies.
Yeah.
Is that just the one where he can, like put his eyebrows?
Yeah, like, yeah. Where he can, like levitate objects off, and, like, people's clothes pop up and skirts pop up. And,
doesn't he have to, like, do, like, a poker night or something, and he's got to play, like, roulette and cheat with the ball or something?
That sounds about right, yeah. but so, yeah, he ends up creating...
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah, he creates this potion. He's like a high school kid that creates this potion that gives him telekinetic powers. And of course, like any teenage boy would do with their hormones raging, they just use it to like look up girls' skirts and stupid shit like that.
Right. 100%
of the sequel, isn't it?
Games. Yeah, it's basically the Charles in Charge movie.
Right.
But the second one isn't nearly as bad in terms of just outright raunchiness. There's still some, and it's still got some nudity and stuff, but it feels a little bit toned down, a little bit more tame by comparison to the first one.
Sure.
But yeah. Anyway, I'm a sucker for dumb 80s comedies.
Linda Blair's in Zapped Again.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, is it again and not T-O-O?
Yeah, you sound really stupid right now, Randy.
I know. I was just looking for any excuse to make a segue to talk about
it. Fact check.
this is why I can't be a politician.
Yep. That's okay. If you talk about your passion, then you'll be honest. And Indiana Jones is definitely your passion. And it looks like the long-rumored James Mangold is confirmed to direct the feature film. Does that get your panties all moist, Mr. RVD?
It does. It gets them all moist and bunched up and a little bit like sucked inside. It's awesome. So how many months has this been rumored? Because at this point, up until just within the last couple of days when this actually hit as being it's real, I thought it was real and the ball was already rolling. It was already in motion. How long have we been talking about this? It's been a while, right? Like 3 months?
I don't remember the James Mangold piece to it. So that was a surprise to me. But when you said that you had heard rumors of this, I was like, oh, shit. So I don't pay attention. So it was all news to me. But I'm not trolling the indie fan sites whilst wearing my indie hat either. I don't really have a horse in that race. But yeah, I like Last Crusade, and for me, it ends there. So I'm good on my Indiana Jones. But I do like Logan, which James directed. And if Indy 5 ends with him getting hopped up on stimulants and going on a murderous killing spree, then it might make for a pretty good movie.
It's definitely going to make for an interesting movie. But yeah, if they can find a satisfying way to give old Indiana Jones the old Logan treatment, you know, just take a character that is so beloved and revered and give him a proper respectful send-off, which is, you know, arguably what was done with Logan, right? So if they can do something like that with Indiana Jones, then you know, so what
do you want him riding off into the sunset or do you want him meeting his end? What would you prefer?
To be honest, I'd like to see him just retire. I'd like to see him ride off into the sunset because in my headcanon, and probably only my headcanon, there's still George Hall playing that 90-something-year-old Indiana Jones that bookended all those young Indiana Jones episodes on TV. So I'd still like to believe that he lived to a ripe old age. I don't want to see him dead, but I would like to see him find something that can kind of like cause him to put down the whip and just relax.
Yeah, I don't want him to die either. I think the perfect use of Harrison Ford would be for us to establish that he has been kind of mentoring someone at the beginning of the movie, and 15 minutes into the movie, Indiana Jones goes missing, kind of like how Dr. Jones Sr. went missing in Last Crusade. And instead of finding him early in the film, he finds him at the very end of the movie. And the two of them maybe have like one set piece to where they have to work together to solve whatever thing they have to solve. And then at the end, you know, we're firmly ensconced with this is the new Indiana Jones type of character.
I dig that idea a lot. I think that would be great. But I don't want it to be just like Force Awakens, where we see him like Luke at the end, just like a little snippet that is just a very unsatisfying little bit. Comparing it to Last Crusade and Sean Connery is ideal. Sean Connery had some amazing action pieces, and just he had a big presence in that movie, even though he didn't come in till halfway through when he's getting rescued. If they could do something similar to that with Harrison Ford now, God, that would be amazing. All they need to do to fix it, and I've been reading this a lot, all they need to do to really fix it is either commit to Mutt Williams and have, God forbid, Shia come back, which I wouldn't personally have a problem with because I like Shia LaBeouf a lot, or, like a lot of people are saying on the internet, just recast that character. He's still in the canon. He's still Indy's son, but bring somebody else in that maybe has a little bit more contemporary or traditional audience appeal right now to take over the mantle and have it almost be a retelling of Last Crusade.
Question for you. When was the last time you watched Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
It's been probably a good 5 years.
When was the last time you watched any other Indiana Jones movie?
I watched Raiders recently. But again, it was probably about the last time I watched Crystal Skull as well for all of them, because I did all four movies. So it's probably been about 5 years.
There's four of them?
but Raiders I watched recently. You know, they did, I forget which TV station it was. It reintroduced the Sunday night movie because everybody's stuck at home during quarantine.
Oh, cool.
So the very first, it was like the ABC Sunday night movie. It must have been ABC because it's Disney. ABC Sunday night movie. And the very first one that they had was Raiders of the Lost Ark. And you could see a nice, crisp, clear, beautiful HD, because I don't own Blu-rays of any movie except Crystal Skull, unfortunately. That's the only one, any movie I do have.
Yeah.
So it was the most high-res, high-def version I've been able to see since I saw it in theaters. So it was worth checking out. But I think those movies hold up pretty well. There you go. I see
what you didn't buy the box set for the Blu-ray box set?
I did not, no.
I have Dave's DVDs because he got the Blu-ray ones, and I never owned Indiana Jones movies, so he gave me his DVDs. All.
The only thing that sucks about this is like the way the DVDs are in there. Like you can see like the tiny sliver there, and they don't just come out. You got to like stick your fingers in there, so you got to like put your finger on the disc half the time to get a stupid movie out. It's very frustrating.
I don't like the ones that come in pockets. I prefer the ones that snap into the little things, the little.
Wow. It's always a question when you hear one rattling around, like if the broke.
Like, yeah, that is the one bad thing about the snap-in.
Yeah.
And then it came with collectible lithographs. This is exclusive stuff, only for like the 12 million people who bought the Blu-rays.
You just pulled a visual aid tonight. I love it.
I know.
Give the man the camera.
Gotta get this podcast on a... Yeah. Two!
Oh my gosh.
Looking at those little lithographs of yours, looking at the Temple of Doom poster there, it reminded me of something that I just saw on social media over the weekend. I follow Drew Struzan, who does all the poster, or most of the poster artwork. And in one of the Temple of Doom posters, he gave Mola Ram these like really nasty, sharp, like monster teeth, kind of. And that was like in his first draft of the poster. He shows it to George Lucas, and George is like, "Why did you give him sharp teeth? You know, he's not like that in the movie." And the artist says, "Well, I just looked at that character and I thought, well, this guy needs sharp teeth." And George is like, "I wish I would have thought of that earlier."
Oh, man.
There's eventually going to be a George Lucas cut of Temple of Doom where all of Mola Ram's teeth are just filed down super sharp in post.
What? Do you have a favorite poster? A movie poster?
I think it's the first release of the Raiders of the Lost Ark poster. I have a few different iterations of that. I have one hanging in my office at work. I have one out in my garage. I just absolutely love that poster so much. Similar style posters. I like the Goonies poster a lot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
A really good one. There's a there's this Japanese version of the Temple of Doom poster. I think it was done in watercolor. It's a different looking poster than most of the other ones. I absolutely adore that one, and I have that hanging in my office at work too. Just the Indiana Jones posters for me, those just, oh my God, they're fantastic. But I have a deep, deep appreciation for movie posters.
Yeah,
I'm all over my house.
I always find it fascinating when they look different in other countries.
Yeah.
Like imports, their idea of what the story is. I mean, based, in a lot of ways, the poster is a snapshot of what to expect from the movie, right? And that's always fascinating when you see a different take, including different characters or maybe even a scene from the movie, big takeaway or something. I was always partial to the Exorcist poster.
Oh, okay.
The priest and the light post.
Yeah, standing up and looking through the house.
Yeah, like, oh, I don't know if I can go in here. This is a bad idea. I feel like that kind of sums it up pretty good. But yeah, movie posters is crazy. I was watching this, I saw this feed once where it was basically just showing one movie poster after another of all the movies in like the last 20 years and how the poster is literally just the same poster and just subbing in different characters. And it's sort of taking this lost art. And I think even, don't you have a Rocketeer poster somewhere?
I have a Rocketeer poster.
And it has like that pulpy look to it.
Yeah, it's super pulpy looking, very comic style.
Yeah, that's cool.
The Back to the Future poster is iconic, and they kind of recreated in 2 and 3. It's just so good.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the 40th anniversary Empire Strikes Back poster?
Is that the one you just put on the screen?
No, that was the special edition one. That's my favorite poster.
That is a really good poster, Dave.
This is the 40th anniversary Empire Strikes Back poster they just released. Yeah, oh my God, I love it! I love it so much.
That's great. Utilizing the meditation chamber to kind of have like a framing device to kind of create like a dark frame on it.
That is cool.
And then I love those that Cloud City staircase. Just so good. I love pretty much all imagery from Empire Strikes Back. It's just, God, that gives me such good memories.
What I love about this poster is, with the exception of the silhouette of Luke Skywalker, it is 100% Empire.
Right.
There is no semblance of like the rebellion of any of the good guy characters. You know, Darth Vader's front and center. You got TIE fighters. You got Star Destroyers. You got AT-ATs, and then it's just this tiny little Luke Skywalker.
Yeah,
I love it.
He's all alone.
Well, to be fair, the title is Empire Strikes Back, so we can see them striking back in full force.
Right. Versus that character poster that you're showing right there.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
That's just everybody on a limb making out.
There are two other Empire Strikes Back posters that I absolutely adore as well, and I have this one in my office at work. Darth Vader wearing his cape around the front.
I bet I can guess one of them.
And I think that one, he has two lightsabers that he's holding above his head, and like they're crossed. I mean, if you didn't see the movie and you didn't know what it was and you just saw that, it would be like, what in the hell is going on in this movie? Because it looks like Darth Vader is a dual-wielding badass wearing like a Clint Eastwood shawl, you know? Like one of those ponchos from a Western. It was amazing. And then my other favorite Empire Strikes Back poster is the Gone with the Wind one where Han is kind of like dipping Leia, about ready to kind of kiss her. And then you get all the imagery all around that. That one, It's steeped in old cinema history,
right?
But it's just such a cool look for Star Wars.
Have you ever seen the Gone with the Wind where it was it wasn't a portrait, it was like a landscape. See if I can pull that one up. It's pretty great too.
Waiting.
Sorry.
If only you guys could see this.
We'll post the video. It's fine.
I see the Darth Vader in his poncho in the center of the screen there.
Yeah, there we go. Everyone loves the poncho.
Yeah.
Don't you remember that scene where he was wearing the poncho?
Bulletproof vest. I love it.
That's not the dual-wielding Darth Vader one. There's another one where he's got two lightsabers, but that one's pretty cool right there. And then look at all those TIE bombers on that poster. It's like you saw like one, maybe two TIE bombers in the whole movie when they're bombing the asteroids looking, trying to flush out Falcon. And this makes it look like there's a whole Imperial fleet of them.
I don't even see that.
in here in the cape.
Oh, in the cape.
Space.
Yeah. I'm like,
that's where they'd be.
The files are in the computer.
And then none of the human actors look anything. They look kind of like what they would look like normally. Like, I don't know what Lando's doing down here.
He's just hanging out with his cape.
Being cool. Yes.
That's the one they modeled the 1995 Kenner figure off of, where he's got the big ripping muscles and everything.
Yeah, now we're talking. My goodness. I'm curious. Yeah, I mean, anyone listening, if you have a favorite movie poster, feel free to share it with us. At Geek Legacy, that'd be awesome. I would love to see what you think is an amazing poster. I'm sure we'll agree.
And it doesn't have to be something old and classic like the ones we're talking about, the ones we like. It could definitely be something newer, maybe something from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's old.
we don't hate.
Yeah.
Well, openly.
Yeah. This is the one you're talking about, Randy? The two lightsabers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all tiny lightsabers?
Yeah. But that one's cool, too. It's like, what's going on with that one?
I like the old Hollywood posters, like the old Western posters, where they look drawn. They look really cool.
Or like Luke's on this poster three times.
He is. Busy guy. A busy little bee. But like where that, like it'll have like you know, some cowboy on a horse, and then like some sort of damsel, and it's done like this really, a lot of yellows, a lot of blacks. They look really cool. I dig them. Reds. They look great. Stars. And the only reason I'm even thinking about it is because on Stars, on their interface, it shows you kind of a poster of the movie when you're selecting a movie. And they have a lot of old Hollywood stuff on there. But it's good stuff. I like the posters. It'd be cool to have a coffee table book of like vintage movie posters. No one's got all the face. Put in a book. Put on a flash drive. That way we can just see it on our computer. We don't have to have an actual book.
Just have it your screensaver. Cycles through.
There was some controversy a year or two ago over at Chapman University. They have a pretty prominent film school over there, Dodge College. And over in one of their hallowed hallways that a lot of students go through, they had a bunch of classic movie posters that had been donated to the school from wealthy benefactors. And one of them, I want to say, was what was the movie from the 20s about like the KKK being the heroes?
Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation, thank you. I feel like a terrible film scholar for not knowing the name of that off the top of my head. There was an original poster for Birth of a Nation over there. And I mean, it was like a good solid 80 plus years old. And the students all got together and protested and claimed that it was offensive and that kind of thing, and made them take it down. And the school's explanation was something to the effect of, well, we didn't really think about the imagery that it was portraying. We were looking at it more as like kind of a time capsule of cinema, or just like a relic, an antique, something that was, you know, that was, if you, when I was in film school in the 90s, that movie was referred back to as like one of the first epics, you know, one of the first big epic movies. They're like big scenes with a lot of people on horseback. And it was just a big, big thing of the silent era. So it's interesting what lens you look through something. And if you're just like, if you only look at it from a historical standpoint and you don't really look at what it could culturally currently be,
yeah, construed as. Obviously, construed like, as,
yeah.
Maybe they didn't even know what the content of the movie was. They're just like, oh, yeah, check out the sweet-ass movie poster.
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't even know what's on the poster. Obviously, it must have been some dudes in some white hoods to get people to realize what it was and to protest about it. But
he looks terrible, right?
Yeah. I remember watching Birth of a Nation in school. Like we watched the entirety of Birth of a Nation in school.
Yeah.
It's a thing. I mean, D.W. Griffith, who directed it, you know, the Lifetime Achievement Award for the Directors Guild was named after him until 1999. So for a long time, he was considered like the apex of directing. So he was like the first person to like really direct a real movie,
right?
Not something you would put like a zoetrope in, like Spin.
not just like a camera on a train track with a train coming toward it, and then people would flee the people would flee the movie houses because like early films they were like a novelty or a sideshow kind of piece where they would take like a 30-second film and it was like a train pulling into a station and it looked so real and the people had never seen any kind of artificial, you know, projection of moving images before. So they saw this thing that looked like a train coming right at them and they would leave the movie theaters screaming because they thought a train was going to come through the wall and get them. Well, it's just insane.
Come around for us.
Yeah. I mean, to this day, I still call them motion picture shows because I love the very idea of motion pictures. I think that's great.
I mean, when you think about how people perceive film, how they looked at it when it very first began, it was magic. It really was.
Hollywood hocus pocus. And now they got to go into space.
Yeah, exactly. To bring things back full circle to Tom Cruise.
Before a train was enough, pulling into the station. Now we're all tired of that shit. No more trains. We want space.
The final frontier.
Dun, dun, dun. Maybe Shatner can direct it.
Oh my god! Or at
you
least
don't need Lyman. Oh well, yeah, I could go. Or sing the song like Rocket Man.
Oh, yeah,
that's terrible. I had to speak of films, I had to watch him sing that in one of my film classes. Wearing a tuxedo and just kind of hanging out.
Like in a lounge or something like that.
Yeah, got a little scotch or whatever the fuck in a microphone. Jeez, what a yahoo! I like it.
Good. Holy smokes! You know, in 1915, do you know how much money Birth of a Nation made?
I would say $3,200.
Randy,
$10 million.
Estimates have it making upwards of $100 million.
That was cool. Wow.
1915. Yeah. What would that
directed,
be?
Directed by D.W. Griffith, produced by W.D. Griffith, written by W.D. Griffith, edited by W.D. Griffith, production company David D.W. Griffith Corporation. He's got his fingerprints all over this. There's no way to avoid the implications of him, promoting the KKK.
Yeah, well... It only took people 100 years to figure that out, and he's long dead. So I guess he got the long end of that stick that time.
Joke's on you.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
there is something to be said about those huge epics, like Spartacus. That was one.
Ben Hur.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was the first 12 reel movie, so it was 193 minutes, so 3 hours 13 minutes.
That's too long. And so now when I watch, it's so funny, when I'm picking a movie on Netflix, I'm like, 2 hours and 6 minutes? I don't got that kind of time. Like, my first question is, how long is it? Every time. Like, what happened to the 90-minute movie? It doesn't exist anymore. It makes me sad. Sometimes I just want to be done with it.
That's a territory I like to live in. 90 minutes. You're in, you're out. You don't overstay your welcome.
Yeah, you don't got to make a day out of it. I feel like a two-hour movie, it's like an investment in my time.
That is there going to be an intermission? Somebody going to come around and serve me food?
I know. Coming from someone that absolutely adores like the extended edition of Lord of the Rings, it's like if it's just some other rando movie and it's 2 hours long, I'm always like, oh, fuck. Let me get a snack. Let me get a drink. Let me do all this crap to make sure my chores are done before I sit down for this long haul. It's terrible. I hate it.
What? One thing I always liked about the extended edition of Lord of the Rings is I could always count on, like, because it was on two DVDs.
Right.
You could always count on, okay, hour and 40 minutes, like 100 minutes, and then it was time to go to the next one. So, like, by clockwork, I could always, if I just wanted to, you know, do, like, little segments, I could just, like, all right, I'll do an hour and 40 minutes today and an hour and 40 minutes tomorrow to get through it.
Totally. Now I have that shit on digital, so I don't have that luxury anymore.
Yeah.
Now,
I have it on Blu-ray, and they still break it up into two. Like, it's really? On two Blu-ray discs. It made me so mad. I got them, like, oh, finally went off to switch discs. And I pop it in, and I'm like, oh, man, there's two of these fucking things.
It's all lies. Why is it so thick? It's only three movies. It must be a lot of bonus material. That's too bad. I saw this tweet earlier today, and it was like, name your first celebrity crush. Do you guys know off the top of your head who you think your first celebrity crush might be?
Okay, mine was Jessica Rabbit.
That's a good one.
And that's no joke. I'm like, because I had the Roger Rabbit trading cards and stuff like that when the movie came out, and I was in love with an animated woman.
That's right.
I can't even think of. I don't even know if I can think of mine. What about you, Justin? Do you have a distinct one you could think of?
I don't. So I feel like I definitely remember, like Randy, being attracted to an animated character, and that was Baroness from G.I. Joe. But then as far as like real people go, I couldn't tell you. It could have been Punky Brewster for all I know, or like Alyssa Milano from like Who's the Boss or something.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
But I couldn't tell you. Baroness, my one and only.
So okay. That, if you want to fit in with the gang, that means you got to pick somebody animated, David.
I was always partial to Arcee, the Transformer. She was the first female, or maybe someone, maybe that evil GoBot girl. I don't remember.
Ooh, the Sorceress.
I wish I did. Yeah.
She was pretty hot.
Oh yeah, she was really like a One Piece.
Yeah, she was a bird.
With wings.
We all know I have a problem with bird people. I feel like it's a hygiene issue. Always walking around like Radagast the Brown with just bird shit all over him. I can't do it.
It's a hard pass.
Literally my interpretation of bird people. So as far as I'm concerned, the Sorceress is just dropping action everywhere she goes.
Don't want to wash your car when she's around.
Yeah, He-Man's got all these awesome vehicles, and I can just imagine her just dropping bombs all over it.
You want a lift? No, I'll take Battle Cat.
Said
your loss.
Oh, she was hot though. I like that Sorceress. She's great.
Oh, bet you do.
Even for a bird lady.
Uptown all the way.
Uptown all the way. Yeah.
No bird ladies.
Nope. They're the worst. Sorry if you're a bird person, but it's just
negative.
Power of perception. Radagast ruined it for everybody. Anywho, that's it for me. You guys got anything else?
I don't have a gut dang thing.
Not a gut.
Not a wait.
Not a wait. All right, then we are done. Thank you for listening to another amazing episode of the Geek Legends Podcast. Holy smokes, that was a fun one. And remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, and be sure to tweet at us. We love your responses. It's always a blast. And don't forget to tell us what your favorite movie poster is. I would love to hear it, and we'll share it on next week's show.
Make sure you tell people that's Cinderella, or that's Cinderella joke, and see how it goes with your family.
That's edgy, bro.
Don't question the ball number.
It's a thing.